a Mac and Dougie, talking Kerry FC. Every week it's a favorite show. Everywhere we go, it's the Kerry Men Podcast.
Yeah. Well, lads, what's the crack? And welcome back to the Kerry Men Podcast.
Up the lads.
Up the lads.
They need it.
Yeah.
Tell us what season and episode we're in. Well, I know we're season two, but what episode are we in?
14.
Episode 14.
Yeah.
What now coming around, lads?
We're 35 or 36 episodes done. Yeah. From Farnham Kerryman Podcast, but I counted the last day.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool, doesn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't feel like we've done 35. It feels like we've done more, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought it was more as well, but I suppose, you know, there's been a few weeks that might be waiting 2 or 3 weeks to get it done or whatever, like,
so. Double game week and things like that.
You know, and then some of them are like 14 hours long, like, so.
Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Are we going to do something for like our 50th episode or something?
Oh, we're just going to beer for the whole week.
Yeah. The whole week, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll record it. Pissed.
I mean, do you want to be handy, man, if it's around the time of away game, we can go live for it.
Yeah.
You know, and do the away game watch along then.
That'd actually be cool, man.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Finn Harps away or something. Oh, no, that's a Thursday.
Yeah, like 11:30 in the morning or something.
Yeah.
It's 15 weeks' time.
15. Well, it might be. Right. You never know. Like, you know, midterm and all that crack, like.
Yeah, that's true.
So, we're coming to wedding season now, is it? Like,
wedding season is right.
You know?
Festival season,
exactly.
I hear you.
There could be something in the pipeline, man. Got an odd email from EP, man. We could be going
live in the main stage.
Jeez, we'd never do the main stage. Oh, one of those double decker buses, man. The DJs be inside in the driver's seat.
Yeah, the salty dog stage.
Three of us stuffed into the driver's seat of the double decker bus doing a podcast.
Well, lads, what's the crack? And welcome to EP.
Finish tripping off their nuts going, what are they talking about?
We love the Kerry Men Podcast. The greatest podcast on this bus.
Oh, God.
Suddenly 2,000 new Kerry fans.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It's an idea.
We could sign us up, EP. You're getting enough of a stick for your lineup anyway at the moment.
We can do like a burning man of the pad, like a big giant, a big giant pad. We'll burn it and dance around it for the crack.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, we've a lot to cover this week. I suppose before we kind of get into gameplay and match reviews and stuff. Dougie, you met with someone during the week?
Yeah, I met with Billy from the club, sporting director of Kerry. So you just, I suppose, just kind of a start of something great for the fans, and we're just kind of building a bit of communication within the club. We had a great conversation. Billy gave a great insight into the club and plans going forward for the club and for the fans. Lots of exciting things happening. I suppose she just kind of went into the work going on behind the scenes and obviously explained the situation of the last few weeks, and it was a nice conversation. And I think myself and Billy agreed it's good for the fans and the club to have communication going forward. And Billy's opened up himself to take on that role. We've been communicating with a bit over the last week with regards to our Cove bus that the club are going to kindly promote what on their social medias and stuff like that. So it's great. It's a massive thing. I think it's the start of something very, very good between the fans and the club, and I really appreciate Billy taking the time to meet me, in fairness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking about the club, I do have to make a little statement to apologise about a comment I made on last week's podcast. Look, the comment was kind of very left field. It left a sour taste in my own mouth, let alone anyone else's. And, you know, it was out of frustration and pretty much heat of the moment in the middle of the whole thing. So, yeah. And anyone that kind of didn't take too kindly to it, I do apologise for that on behalf of myself, obviously, and the two boys as well. So, yeah.
Look, again, as we kind of said, look, tensions kind of flared a small bit. There's a lot of frustration, disappointment. But it's good that the air has been cleared in some way, shape, or form, anyway, between everyone. So, with that being said, I think instead of dwelling on that too much, we can move on.
Up the lads.
So, the first thing I suppose we talk about is that game. Cork City travelled down to Mount Hawk last Friday night. A lot of people have mixed opinions about the game. I was watching it from home. And
Firstly, Full Time Productions, Kevin Keller. Oh my God, man. The coverage is unbelievable,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's class, yeah.
it's by far the one of the best in the League of Ireland, man. Yeah.
And you know it from watching that game Friday night and then and switching the over Longford to game,
Longford
game.
Oh my God,
on Monday, you see the difference, like, and it's uncomparable, really, like, isn't it?
I've only watched one home game other than that one on the phone, and that was at 35,000 feet, and that was actually Kerry FC versus Longford last year.
Yeah,
it's actually a dream, like.
And I was like, yeah, it's brilliant. I think it was still that automated camera and it was shite, and then turned up in the Castle Bar and seeing like Ken and the boys on TV, full action replays, back to the game, not a bother, boom.
Yeah,
it
the
was
coverage,
like,
the coverage's fantastic.
Top
match.
Fair play, Kev.
Yeah, fair play to Kev Keller and the team at Full Time Productions for some fantastic coverage, as always. But again, I suppose going back to it, I think a lot of people have mixed opinions about the game against Cork. I enjoyed watching the game. I thought they kicked lumps out of each other for the first 45 minutes. I thought the goal was unfortunate. Again, we'll get to that a bit more. I think Kerry did fight until the end. Obviously, not a result that, you know, Kerry were looking for. But when you kind of compare it to the time they played in Turner's Cross, and the fact that it was, you know, a Cork City team that are top of the table, I know, albeit without their man Doherty playing, but again, a strong Cork side, and I thought Kerry done okay. I think we could have created more chances, more clear-cut chances, that is, you know, but I think in terms of the fight and just being competitive, I thought Kerry were kind of there for majority of the game. What do you think?
Comparing to the first game, I think they've definitely started as nervous as they started above in Cork, but they kind of clicked out of that fairly quick.
Yeah.
The goal wasn't great. Timing was fairly poor. I know it's never good to concede a goal, but so early in the game, when you're kind of just getting into it,
it
wasn't great. A massive mistake. I know they're giving it for handball, but I felt it should have been dealt with by the keeper before that. You know, obviously the communication wasn't great. Between two Dannys and Andy Spain, that's where the mistake came, you know, that led to the crack of goal where he hit Kevin's hand and the penalty was given away. So, like, I suppose that was disappointing. Like, you know, overall, I don't think we created enough chances. It was a feisty game, and I think Kerry put in more of a fight than a performance. You know, look, Cork had a lot of chances too to really redeem himself. He could pull off a couple of great saves. Cork hit the post. You know, I think justifiably Cork won the game, but. It wasn't a landslide.
Yeah.
So the fight was there. I think probably our best chance of the game was probably Sam's header at the 89th minute.
Yeah.
You know, where he didn't get the connection on it. Like, but probably didn't deserve to get anything from the game, but 10 times better than what we've seen above in Turner's Cross at the start of the season.
And just to kind of quickly go back to last week as well against Bray, or was it 2 weeks ago now? I can't remember what game
back
had.
In the day
against, you know,
Bray.
When Anto, you went up and just said, look, it was a game, like, there was absolutely nothing to take from it, it was so bad. At least there was a bit of fight there, even if the performance wasn't there. At least there was that bit of fight there to kind of always be in the game, whereas, you know, I think when we reflect back on the Bray game, there was neither, and it looked like it was neither from both sides for a lot of the game, but Bray were the ones that kind of came out on top, whereas at least, you know, at least they had a bit of fight in them against Cork. Again, look, against a good side, you're not always going to perform well against a good side, whether you're at home or away. But yeah, what do you think, Anto?
Yeah, you know what, it kind of felt like, I suppose it is a derby, but it felt like a derby game. It was big hits going in from both teams. Look, we obviously came off the wrong side of the result, but if we snatched a draw, it would have been unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so a lot of people were saying, you know, this could be a hammering. I know I said it as well, but that was only because if they played the way they played against Bray, it would have been. Look, 1-0 against Cork City. I'll take it.
I don't think Cork are anything special, really.
I thought they were very poor.
They're well ahead, like, you know, and they've come back off a draw at home against Wexford. Do you know, like, you look on last year, and Cork are picking up probably the same results that Galway are close enough, like, you know, Galway are far superior to the Cork City team, like, you know.
Yeah,
I sure look where they are.
I suppose it
goes
to show, like, how tight is it at the top anyway? Like, there's not that many points between the top five, realistically.
Yeah.
They're kind of pushing away from the bottom five. I wouldn't show fear going to Turner's Cross next time, like, you know, and realistically, like, if we'd met Cork maybe four games ago, like the possibly could have got a result. Like we're coming into our worst period of the season, obviously, if four losses on the bounce after coming in after being undefeated in eight. I know a lot of draws in there, like, but you definitely would have took a draw Friday night, like.
Yeah. I suppose Andy Spain coming off quite early as well didn't do us any favours, obviously.
Absolutely not. Like, you see even the Longford game, like, you know, lacking leadership big time. You know, he's very prolific. It just goes to show how important he is for the team, like, you know.
Absolutely. What was I going to say? I've gone completely blank. Someone buy some time here for me for a second. Say something quick.
Banana. Pear. Plum. We might have to Longford game, I suppose, Pat.
No. I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, just going back to the Cork goal. So, yeah, I thought it was a mistake by Tuta, right, in net. Came out. I mean, we were coming out that far to the edge of your box. I think you really, really need to make sure you're coming out with that ball.
Again, it was a nerves and hesitation, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And possibly a slight lack of communication. Ball goes across the box. And me and Dougie had this, I suppose, I wouldn't say debate, but we kind of had a discussion about it before you landed in, Anto. I want to get your take on it. Do you think if Tuta is standing on the line and not on the edge of the box, lying on the ground, do you think that's a penalty? Still.
Oh.
Because I think the defender is so close to the person striking the ball, I think it could be waved away as not a penalty, given that Tuta is standing on the line. But because the goal is completely wide open, you kind of have to completely like disregard the fact that he was so close, or his hand was kind of in. But
I don't know, it's a League of Ireland referee at the end of the day. Yeah. He probably still would have given a penalty regardless if there was three goalkeepers and goals.
Yeah, so it was like, I thought, I don't know why, and I think it might have been said in commentary maybe that if Tuta was on the line, there is the possibility that there, because the referee hesitated to give the penalty in the first place. It wasn't as far as I remember anyway, it wasn't immediately given. It was maybe a second or two had passed and the referee had kind of come to terms with it, right, yeah, that's a penalty. Do you reckon it's a different decision if Tuta stand on the line
I think if the referee was taking that second, it was more to see if Cork were going to get the ball back to have another pop.
I
saw the replay enough now on League of Ireland TV.
So yeah, it was for me. It's position, hand, it's like, in the body.
It would have been a penalty.
It's a tough one because his hand isn't actually miles.
No,
out,
but it's
but
still.
It is still. Yeah, it's not across his chest.
No,
it's
out.
It's kind of like a body turning situation. Yeah, isn't it? Your hand just flicked out. You know,
is it natural? Yeah. Your body moves like that, but look, it's way too far away. And
anyone that's listening, if you have any other opinions or any other takes on that incident, please let us know.
Contact Panmack on 08.
So yeah, I suppose general synopsis of it. I suppose look, Kerry fought for 90 minutes. You know, didn't really create too many clear cut chances other than Sammy's header, as you say, and it was kind of a mistake that led to the penalty that led to the goal. So it was one of those. I suppose you kind of have to bite the bullet and move on. Which brought us on to Monday night against Longford. Now, oh man, first start anyway. League of Ireland putting a €5 paywall on to stream the games, and the stream cut out how many times?
Four or five.
Oh my god!
It was the longest one just before half time, wasn't it? It was like 5 minutes of the game or something.
Yeah. No, it might not 40, necessarily 40 be
41st minute. Yeah. Went, yeah.
Might not necessarily be the League of Ireland's issue. It could be a Longford Town issue because they're the ones that host the stream.
Yeah.
It was appalling. I mean,
that was bad.
That was definitely a Longford Town issue because all the rest of the games were fine. Like,
I actually flicked over to a different one then. I was like, fuck, much better.
You know, but I suppose, look, other than that, from what I've seen, the first half an hour was...
It was a tough watch, man, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Putrid, in my opinion, watching it. I thought it was so bad.
We honestly saw better performances last year when we were getting pumped 9-1. Bad.
And it was strange because, again, like we go back to Friday night, they put up a good fight against Cork. They were like, that was in terms of competitiveness, they were flying into challenges, they were getting stuck in, they weren't letting Cork referee the game, they were getting in their face a lot. And then you come, I don't know, we're fellas tired, there was a lot of changes.
I don't think you can say tired either. Tired. They made a lot of changes.
Oh, that's what I was asking. Were they tired? No. There was a lot of changes made anyway from the squad from Friday night.
I'd say a lot of them walked in there going, oh, we beat Longford at home 3-0. We'll easily pump them now as well.
I don't know. Possibly did go in with that mindset.
And then they got the shock of their lives when a corner came in and they couldn't clear it and bang, goal, 1-0.
And the two goals were like, it was last year, like last season all over again.
Falls back post.
Performance
back
was last season all over again. You know, attitude was bad. You know, like the team selection. Do they need to make that many changes? I don't know. Like again, as you said, were they tired? I can't see the reason why they should be tired.
I can because of the effort they put in to get around the pitch on Friday night.
Yeah, but see, there were so many changes then as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I understand. I can understand why you'd make changes, and I think we alluded to that last week as well when we were saying, look, they've made changes on a bank holiday weekend before, like, but regardless of who you take out and who you put in, you shouldn't be performing that poorly in the first 30 minutes of any game.
But that's what it felt like.
Credit to the management, they made the changes quick.
Ballsy.
Yeah, do you know?
Love it.
Made the changes quick, and it was a case of, look, lads,
Victor's not doing it, bring on Ryan.
Needs to be done. And,
100%.
You know, and, like, I credit to them for doing that. Like, a lot of managers wouldn't do that. They'd see it out to half time and then make the change, but you know.
No, making four subs by the start of the second
but
half.
But it just shows they've seen what we've seen too, and it was just, it was painful. It was tough. It was a very tough watch for the first half an hour.
If you look at it though, like, you know, majority of the work on Friday night was done by the defence.
Absolutely.
Realistically, like, you know, and I know Cass played 70 minutes, started Monday. Sammy played the full game. Kevin played the full game. I know Jack Kevin started on Monday, and Sean O'Connell played the full game. And so, like, you know, there was pretty much only one change in the back line, and they're the boys that did all the work. I know in midfield again, did a lot of work too. Like, but you know, like the boys up top were fresh. Like, you know, Nathan, Victor, and who's the other one?
Kennedy.
Like, that's fresh legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just didn't do enough. Like, you know.
And like, what do you think it is? So, if it isn't tiredness, what is it that?
I think it was cockiness, plain and simple. Like
that was addressed last week, though. Did you think that's still
the
case? Even though it was addressed by management last week.
I think they went, you know what? We pumped these lads in Mountain. We played them off the park, and that was it. And then they went out there, wrong attitude, boom. Like everyone could see it. They went out cocky. Suddenly they're 2-0 down. Changes are made. Second half, the last half an hour was the Kerry FC of 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where they're playing football. They're crossing the ball into the box. Ryan scored a worldie.
Yeah.
You know, Kerry FC only score bangers. It's confirmed.
What a goal, by the way.
But, like, really, you know, you're there going, like, why couldn't you do that earlier? Because they could have.
Chucky spoke after the game about attitudes, and that's exactly what it looked like to me. Like, you know, it was just down to attitude. And joint lack of leadership too, and if he didn't look organised too, look disinterested in playing that game. Like, I cannot understand it, how you can go from one extreme to another. I know you dip in form at times, but to be consistently this bad as we are at the moment, like, you know, maybe not the Cork City game, but going back to the Bray game, and what was the game before that? At Longtown, at home. That second half was a glimpse of last year on Monday night. It's exact same 75 minutes performance of last year. Like, you know, it can only be one thing. And, like, Shuki's probably hit the nail on the head with the attitude. Like, you know, I think the players need to understand, like, what they're playing for. Like, you know, they're not just playing for themselves. Like, it's our club too. Like, you know, and they need to respect that. Like, and put in the effort. Like, if you can't put in the effort, put your hand up. Like, and come off. Like, Shuki Mackay shouldn't have to make a change after 28 minutes.
No.
That is absolute joke. Like, really.
No, unless one of them, or maybe, like, I don't think so myself. But unless there's something
suddenly you see,
it didn't look it anyway
on
to me
on Friday night that Victor and Nathan aren't in the squad due to injuries.
Oh, absolutely.
I highly doubt it.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, unless there's something that we don't know, and that was the case, but I don't think so. I suppose a pattern like I've kind of discovered as you were calling out the previous results. First half against Athlone, first 44 minutes against Athlone, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Then we were poor that second half, like very poor against Bray. performance wise in terms of on the ball and stuff, look, we tried to make what we could out of the game against Cork, but the intensity was there and it would just all went flat for, again, as you said, for the bones of maybe an hour against Longford.
Oh,
and then they started playing. It's just inconsistency. I mean, you know, that's creeping back in. We were consistent there for a while. It's inconsistencies creeping back in, but I suppose the bright thing is at least we finished the game strong in a way, and there's something to take away from the game. It'd be worse if it was 90 minutes of pure dog shit, you could say.
Well, it took us, it'd be worse. I did the quick maths because obviously we didn't have a shot on target against Bray, and it took us if you just count those two games, it was 170 minutes before we hit a shot on target in those two games. Take out Cork City, because
again, we speak about, like, you know, going back to the kind of performance of last year. I wouldn't even say that, like, because last year we were losing games, and like losing games, it's the second year of the club. Like, it's going to happen. Like, you're not going to go undefeated all year. Like, you know, they're eventually going to lose a game. Yeah. But lose the game with a bit of pride. Do you know the lads that finished the game for the last, say, 20 minutes? I know, like, we made our five changes by the 68 minute. I think 57 minute we made our fifth substitution in the game. You know, obviously, Longford still had control of the game at that stage. Like, the last 20 minutes was a performance we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they showed a bit of pride and a bit of heart in the club. Like, you know, that's the most important thing. Like, you know, it's fine you don't lose in the game. We're not going to win every game. Like, but go fucking fighting. Like,
yeah.
Lose with a bit of pride. Get your head up after the game. Okay, we were beaten by the better team in the day, but we gave it our all. We created our couple of chances.
Because they'd done it on Friday. They'd done that on Friday night.
They've done
it
so many times this year. Yeah. But it's just in between these games. I don't know what's going on. Attitudes are fucking shit at times on the pitch, and you can see it. Give it your all, show a bit of pride, and John, play for the fans, play for yourself. Like, you know, like,
do you know who's a good bright spark though? Valerie. He came on, he ran at everyone,
he went through
about four or five. He won, I'd say it was three or four frees at the edge of the box, about 20 yards out, all within the space of 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah,
like, that's direct running that we saw from Kennedy last year.
And that's a man with a point to prove too, you know, coming into a squad.
And like Dan used to do,
been up for 4 months.
Yeah.
Jack's been up for three. Like, the squad's coming together, the fitness is there within the squad. The
squad's coming back to a hole with a lot of depth.
There should be no excuses anymore.
Yeah.
Performances need to be there. UCD on Friday night. UCD were beaten last Friday or Monday by Cove. It was the first time they've been beaten in 9 games. 1-3, drew 3, 1-3. So, like, they're coming in good form. I know they were beating Monday, but they're in good form. They're second in the division. Like, you know, we got a good point up there. Like, we should be putting in a performance against them. And, do you know what I mean? Like, we're well capable of getting 3 points at home on Friday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of those things. I think the big take from that game against Longford was, you know, that 1 hour can't happen again. We said it with the Bray game. We didn't get that against Cork, thank God they fought, but we really can't let Bray away from home, Longford. I think that's a game, like, we can't let that happen again. Because the opportunity was there. We had beaten them before. You're allowed to be confident going into those games. Do you know, whatever you want to call it, cockiness or whatever, you're allowed to be confident going into those games, but be confident and play ball.
Yeah.
And if you dominate possession and two goals go against you because of mistakes, okay. We couldn't do anything for the hour, like, you know.
Yeah. Like, if we play a poor hour like that against UCD, we'll be 2 or 3 nil down before they know it, easily. Because UCD, when we played them away, we were asleep for about half an hour.
Yeah.
Now, I know they scored just before half time and whatever else, but, like, they could have had 5 or 6 if it wasn't for Tuda pulling off a couple of great saves, you know. We can't keep relying on Tuda to pull us out of the bag each time.
Actually,
here.
Actually, just to go back in the Cork game, lads, that save he made was in the second half. The left back done unbelievable for Cork to get the ball onto his right foot, and there was some strike off his weaker foot as well. But what a save that was.
Yeah.
And again on Monday night, made a nice...
He has a few of those,
to be fair. You know? And again, that's something we'll get into later in a segment that we haven't had since season one. But yeah, I suppose the overall take was...
I don't remember season one at all.
the overall take is, Jesus, please don't perform like that first hour against Longford.
That was Longford's first win of the season as well.
Yeah.
Lucky number 13, as they kept saying on the.
Barteros is back on Friday as well. Yeah. Like, so, you know, hopefully that'll give the boys a little bit of a lift.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because it's what, 3 games gone now?
We'll be watching on our phones probably.
Yeah. Fucking wedding.
Are you going to the game?
Yeah, I'm going to the game. Yeah. Well, oh, you've a wedding, do you?
We've a wedding, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
2 games on the bounce, we're missing now, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What will injury? Hamstring.
I'll be there.
Vocal cords are
vocal cords are worn.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
know what June.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Oh, well.
you got the sack, but
I did.
So yeah. I suppose, look, as we said, with UCD on Friday night, it's one of those games, if we don't bring it from the start, they can walk all over us.
Yeah, it's a bit of an unknown what's going to happen, realistically, what Kerry FC shows up. Like, you know, that's the...
Alright, what Kerry FC will show up? What starting 11 do you think should be starting against UCD based on performances? Because the squad's been shuffled around a bit now. This fella's injured.
Lads, Paz after turning all juggler in. Let's do it.
Can I just do my full teams?
Combination 11.
Well, that's available now. That's available to us now. Go on.
I'd do Tuta.
Yeah.
Sean O'Connell. If Spain's still injured, I'd go Koss, Sammy, Kevin.
Okay. Same back five, you could say, against Frankfurt.
Yeah. No, I'd...
Oh, well, Kavanagh was started left back in Frankfurt, yeah.
Yeah, but I'd go Sean O'Connell.
Yeah, okay.
I'd go Dara McCarthy, because I don't think you can take him out of the squad.
No,
he's
absolutely not, no.
I'd go Ronan.
Okay.
Sean McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan. Dan. And I'd go Valerie.
Okay.
I would go I love Kennedy. I think he's class. And I love Nathan. I think they're both good players. But I think just what Valerie showed in a half an hour of coming on, especially being 4 months out.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement to that, starting left, to be honest.
I don't think anyone can give out about being dropped out of the team, especially one of the forwards, because, look, realistically, we ain't scoring enough goals. Like.
Yeah. And it was tough, very, very tough for Jack.
Everyone's
his first full game back, his first start back from injury,
yeah,
away from home against Longford.
I think it was a very weird call to bring him into the game from the get-go.
I would have thought Sean would have started and he got, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour at the end or something.
You know, like, it, depending on the way the game is going, like, you know.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things. You could look at it from two ways. Throw him straight into the deep end.
Unless he wanted to do it for the last couple of games, and just couldn't.
You know, because he has been around for doing warm-ups and training sessions and stuff like that for a number of weeks, so.
Well, it's always good to have a player back, as you said.
Oh, absolutely. And if it's anything
back in as well.
If it's anything from what we've seen in pre-season, there's a lot to look forward to, but hopefully he can get back to that form fairly quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, Anto, I'd agree with that starting 11. I think that's the strongest 11 we can go to with the players that we have available.
The one thing I would like to see more, man. I'm going to keep this for the new segment, actually. I'm going to keep this.
Cool.
Okay.
Because I'll have nothing in.
We're
just messing around.
we're just joshing around. I'm just going to toilet. You chat later. So, moving on, we have an announcement. We are running another supporters bus.
Yay!
To
up the bus, up the lads.
Up the bus, up the lads. To Cove Ramblers away on what date is it, Dougie?
31st of May.
Thanks, Anto. The 31st of May.
Leaving the Castlebar as per usual.
A time to be decided.
€30 ahead. Not bad. Good value, I think.
That's good. Good value. Yeah, good value.
It was the same for Cork City.
So getting in touch.
We're running the 30-seater, lads. 30-seater only. The bus size of the bus will not change. We had a lot of people on to us after the treaty game, and I'd imagine a lot of people travelling on the treaty bus will travel too, and they will get first refusal because they've travelled with us before.
Yeah.
So get in touch nice and quick. Book the seats. Payment to book the bus. We'll not take a booking without payment.
Yes.
No refunds. If you want to refund it, get someone to buy your seat. We're not in a position to be.
Yes.
Because if someone drops out, someone has to pay for it, and we cannot pass it on. I'm not paying for it.
Mm.
We don't want to do the bus.
Please make sure you can definitely go if you are going. It's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you're not 100% sure and you want to just save the seat for yourself anyway, unfortunately, it is up to you to sell that seat.
Yeah.
Afterwards, if you cannot go. But, yeah. Get in touch. We'll try and fill another bus again.
Yeah,
try and get a nice crowd to go up to Cove. We'll try and leave early enough so we can get up there for a couple of pints beforehand, as always.
How long is it to Cove?
2 hours, I suppose.
Yeah. It's about 20 minutes after.
I believe around half 10.
Just if we're going for pints in the town, we might need the bus up to the ground because those steps are killers.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Thanks.
No bother.
I'm not even being sarcastic. That's some great advice because
we get one of those chairs and we can stick hand up top of it. The king can't walk up a few steps.
Yeah. All right, you'll enjoy the steps.
I don't even know if I'll be there, man. Fucking weeks away, man.
Yeah. So plenty of time, but if I was you, I would get onto us ASAP to make sure that your seat is secured.
Third bus of the season. I didn't know if we feel like we're going to be good from now on, man. The crack was good at Treaty.
Yeah, crack was mighty on the way up to Treaty. So it was mighty. So yeah, for more information on that and to secure your seat, make sure you get on to the Carryman podcast Instagram.
Such a dope. Like, why did you close it for?
What's wrong with you, boys?
He was showing me a message to the Carryman podcast page and it closes.
I'm here trying to advertise this bus, boys.
How was Anto that handsome?
Yeah. From Ken.
So yeah, get onto social medias if you want to get a seat on the bus. Okay, so we're going to move on to this scene as the boys are eager and Anto's opening fucking messages and distracting Dougie while I'm trying to advertise the fucking bus.
I wouldn't be as distracted if he just left the message on the phone. Do you know when the message is on the phone?
Yeah.
And he was, look at it, and then closes it straight away.
Anyway, a segment that we haven't done before, or since last year, at least. So we have done it, but we're bringing it back. It's social media. Hey,
up the lads.
So we've had some great interaction on social media.
We've had our first email, actually.
Yeah,
from one of the listeners.
Yeah, which we will get onto quite soon. But Dougie, we have some questions and topics that we need to discuss, me, Anto, and yourself.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So we put a little post on Instagram yesterday, they sent in a few topics. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pat, I'm going to aim this one at you.
Good.
I feel you've got the abilities, seeing as you're now a manager of a Premier A side. Congratulations on that, by the way. We never announced it on the pod.
Thanks.
Barry Hague Athletic promoted the Premier A in the Curtis League.
Thanks.
Up the lads.
We just need to win that trophy next, that's the only thing.
Yeah, back-to-back promotions.
Yeah.
A lot of buzz.
I'm awful at taking credit or anything like that. So
I was only really look so awkward, man.
Yeah.
Big congratulations to Pat.
Thanks. And what's the question?
Promotion from Premier B to Premier A with Bally Athletic. Fantastic achievement.
Thanks. Okay. What's the question?
It's come
pure rain. Okay. Sorry. No. This one is in from Luke O'Mahony.
Okay.
Why do Kerry keep rotating? They should probably have a solid 11 by now. Discuss.
Like, why does any team keep rotating? It's to make sure, like, again, you try and keep fellas happy as well. If there's fellas training well, like, look, if a starting 11 is good on a Monday night, that doesn't mean that that's your strongest 11 for the whole season. You know, like, players can perform very well at training. They might have earned a chance to get into the squad. That's why you change it sometimes. Sometimes fellas are, as we kind of slightly alluded to earlier, fellas could be carrying a knock. Fellas could be very tired from training, from the games, you know, especially in a double game week. Could be tactically, you know. It could be depending on who you're playing against and what way they set up. It could, in going from a four back to a five back means that someone in midfield or someone out wide is going to get dropped. And again, I suppose just go back on injuries as well. That's kind of one of the main reasons why you'd shuffle a team around. So again, we have a strongest 11. I think we have about 9 to 10 players of our strongest 11 nailed down. I think there's two positions, and I'm not confident yet on which two it is as such.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two positions that I think are up for grabs, and until those two positions are filled by players that can consistently perform at a good level for us, I think only then will we actually have a solid 11 that you can say is right. This should be the team that starts every single week.
I think it would be great to actually get to that stage where the fitness levels are high, where they're career injury free, and they have a consistent starting 11 for 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to get it for much longer than that, like, you know. Because obviously fitness levels drop and fellas get tired and like fellas come off the bench putting in a decent performance, and sometimes it's very hard to drop a lad that comes in for half an hour, 40, or to not start the lad in the next game after he puts in a performance off the bench, like, you know.
But I mean, look, like at the end of the day too, another thing is, like, this is very Michael Owen of me, you know, to say this.
Oh, I love it.
But the starting 11 is only the 11 players that are going to start that game. 11 fellas aren't going to win you a game. They're not going to draw you a game. They're not going to come back from behind. It's those fellas that start the game are the ones that give you the first 45 to an hour of effort. You do need 3 to 4 other players on the bench to come on and have the exact same impact as the starting 11 would have for you to get over the line. So it's not just because Ryan Kelleher's on the bench doesn't mean he's not going to be a big factor in us getting over the line in either a draw or a win.
Sure,
in a game, you know.
I think there was the boys on the stream the last day say it's only Kevin Williams and Tuta are the only two that have started every game.
That's right, Joe.
So like, yeah.
Look, it happens.
Injuries, suspensions, and tactics.
Especially when it's, you know, because I think it was only 2 weeks ago we had a double game week as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So look, there's a lot of games. What's that? 6 games in a month. More.
Yeah.
6 games in 3 weeks to a month.
Yeah.
You know, look, the squad is going to change around, and again, look, injuries is the big one as to why you'd move a team around. But I mean, look, it's.
So I suppose, look, to break it down, what you're saying is Chucky Mecca starts his own.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. No. I think there's enough in there. That's well put, in fairness. I'd have to agree with you, to be fair. Spot on. Okay, so we'll throw one down your throat. Are Kerry FC's playoff hopes gone? I think we'd all like a little bit of a taste of this, possibly.
Right. Mathematically, we can still win the league. Right? That's what I'm going to start with first. No, I don't think so. Look, playoffs go down all the way to fifth, you know. There's, you know, like, we went 8 unbeaten. Granted, there were 7 draws in there. No, yeah. And you're kind of going...
6 in the league.
Yeah, 6 in the league, sorry. And you're like, oh, well... What are you going to do with it? If they find a run of form now in the next couple of games, like the tough games coming up now, handful of points there, you're taking points off teams above you, which is obviously the most important part. You could easily start climbing up the table. All it takes is a week or two, like, of just runs. You know, 2 or 3 games in a row, you get 9 points or 8 points, 7, whatever. Suddenly you start seeing yourself climbing a lot higher than you would think. It's very tight down that this end, like, of the table.
I
don't think they're gone.
I don't think they're gone from it either. Like, I mean, like, 10 games, right? Let's say you go on a 10 game stretch. If we win 3 games, or we win 1 and draw 4, we're in it. Do you know that kind of thing?
We're still in it.
Now, on the basis that the teams also drop points above us,
of course.
Again, the league is so tight. Pick up points here and there. If you can get another couple of wins on the board, or whatever, a couple is 2 or more.
All you have to do is,
if we can get a couple of more or a few more fucking wins and get the odd draw here and there, and look, we're going to have more losses than we are draws and wins, probably.
Yeah,
but again, that doesn't mean we're out of the playoff picture in that sense. So, like, a lot can change.
If you look at Cove last year, Cove were sitting around 8th and 7th and dropping down a bit. They came 3rd.
Yeah.
And bang, yeah. Yeah, they finished very strong. Yeah.
Like, cause it can happen.
Yeah.
It does happen, you know. So,
yeah.
Why can't we do it?
So, on that one? No? Is the answer to that?
I wouldn't say so. It's too early.
Playoff hopes
way too early.
Are not gone.
The best, things might change in literally a month or to 6 weeks, whenever that...
We could win every game now until July.
Whenever that summer break hits, that 2 week break, that'd be probably the best time to really kind of give. But I think at the moment, there's too many games to call it.
Okay. Moving on. Next one. I like this one. We obviously think this is a bit of a piss take. We will all have a crack at this one.
Go on.
With Seanie McGuire linked to Clark City. What Irish international would star for KFC?
That's Bod that sent that one in, was it?
Yeah. That last one was sent in by the Irish football fan on Instagram.
Thanks for that question.
Big fan of the Irish football.
Yeah. Good question. So,
okay, what player from the Ireland team would you bring in that would star?
Well, Sean Uguire hasn't been in with Ireland for what, 3 years?
If he
for what, the current Irish,
it's like Sean McGuire come back to League of Ireland, it's like Ronaldo going after Saudi Arabia. Except for Sean McGuire is probably only get 400 quid a week.
And no
Ronaldo's
10.
Getting 400 million.
Huh? And no 10.
No, you never know.
Might go on the bits.
Park's lovely in the summer.
Plenty of some bits. I don't know. The current Irish players.
Yeah, yeah. Like the one that comes to me, man, I think he'd be good on crack as well. He's only man from the striker from Blackburn. Smads.
Sammy Smaddox.
Smaddox, yeah. Man's about, like, they genuinely just got out of relegation, I think, in the second last week of the season. Yeah. Man's like 26 goals. Like,
do you know what I'd love to see?
They should have won the league with a striker like that. Like,
do you know what I'd love to
he's
see?
He's not even a striker.
Go on, midfielder. I'm interested in this one.
I think he only played for Ireland underage.
Liam Brady.
No. But Richie I actually Sandler. Think this is slightly realistic, but I don't think it'll be anytime soon because he only played against United recently enough in the FA Cup. So if he was to move away from England, he'd probably be to a Premier Division team in Ireland. But eventually, I do think the Castle Island man, Shane McLaughlin, is a player that, you know...
Oh.
Again, I don't. I don't think it'd be a jump from League Two or League One. I'm not 100% sure what division they're in, but League Two or League One. Straight.
He's Newport, isn't he? At the moment.
Newport, I think.
Yeah, no, I think they're League Two.
He's with. Hmm. Who's only with Salford last year or the year before?
Yeah.
I think they were League Two, so probably is around League Two. He's with. I don't think he'd jump straight from League Two. All the way down to the second division of Kerry. I think if he was to come back home and play ball, it'd be for a Premier side. But
on that note, then you'd have Anthony Ford from Wrexham, who played with Kingdom Boys, and he's underage football. So he's from Ballingarry, from, I know, Limerick, like. But
really, did
but
he?
But he played with Kingdom Boys, yeah, underage, yeah. Before he signed for Wolves, he's 16 or 17 when he signed for Wolves. He would have played with Gary O'Neill, actually. He would have been on that same side as that, guys, O'Neill and all those lads. He was travelling down, he played centre midfield for that team.
So two of the boys from Kingdom Boys went playing for Wolves, because Gary was captain.
Tony Almoy at the time is a big Wolves fan, and my Lynch, so right. There might have been a link there or something. He might have known someone
possibly, yeah,
that brought him over. But yeah, that's, it's interesting you say that name, like, because it would never come to my mind, but Anthony Ford popped into my head.
Yeah,
currently in the books at Wrexham. I don't know if he'll be there next year. He's jumped to League One. It's kind of a big jump, I'd imagine. They bring in quite a lot of players during the summer. But like, maybe he's one that could possibly pop into the heads for the future.
Possibly. And again, it's
Billy, if you're listening, get your notepad out.
like when you said, like, current Irish players, I'm like, I can't picture any. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those, like, but kind of a realistic one of, you know, kind of local lads that are playing abroad, you can say.
Anthony's going to say Brian Fenton.
Yeah. And doesn't a fucking notion where I'm But I think, look, down the line, possibly, it may be.
But even in that note, like,
one,
you know,
but
I know,
it's just that jump from that standard.
Even Brendan Maloney, like, I know injuries kind of plagued him and stuff, like, you know, if Kerry had a platform a couple of years ago, like, you know, he could have ended his career here, like, you know, like, if he's feeling the injuries and stuff, like, you know. It mightn't be as grueling in the body playing in the League of Ireland as it is over in England, like, you know. Absolutely. So, like, through the possibility that he could have played for Kerry FC,
possibly,
do you know.
I think that would have been a cert, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If it was a couple of years ago, because we actually he only played against us last year for Clare Athletic.
That's right. Yeah.
You know.
And so, give us your Irish international star that's going to shine for Kerry FC.
Oh, I don't know, man. Having a clue.
Dead right, too. Yeah. That was good timing.
That was a good timing. You actually have no, like, anyone.
No.
Moving on.
Michael Obafemi.
Oh, he'd be class, yeah.
Josh Cullen.
Second man playing for Millwall.
Is he at Millwall now?
He's alone, isn't he? Is he alone?
I think he is.
We left out of the squad, disciplinary issues.
There's that young fella. You know that young fella with the. I think he's playing in Spain or the Netherlands. He has a pure Spanish first name anyway, but he's Irish. Playing for the
Cristiano.
Irish.
No. Jake O'Brien is lifting over in Leon.
Oh, absolutely. He's huge. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's on loan from Palace.
Is he only on loan?
I think so.
Oh. Interesting. They're after making the French Cup final, actually.
I know that. It's Joe Mike that does the coach with Stranraer.
Yeah.
I was playing, shout out to Mike, by the way. I was playing him in the game of FIFA before work the last day. And do you know when you go into FIFA and, like,
random teams.
The game wasn't updated, so it's like the first official release of FIFA at the start of the year.
Oh, okay.
So like loads of players were still at their old clubs, like, you know, before the transfer market opened, and I had Jake O'Brien in the reserves for Palace. And Mike is a Palace fan, and he goes, "Oh, sure, he's on loan over in France." And I goes, "Oh, never knew he was from Palace.
Must be on loan, so."
Yeah, well, he could have signed for Lyon, but he was with Palace anyway at the start of the season. But anyway, moving on. Good question, Bod. Something for that.
Question here from Eddie Horgan. I like this question, actually. Would you take Leo Gaxa back on loan? Personally, yes, I would. 100%. Reason being, by far our best player last year. 100%. I don't think the man would have left the club if agreement had been made with what he wanted. Very disappointed to lose him. I think we probably would have lost him. I always kind of thought we'd get the second year out of him and he'd go after that. Definitely loves the club. Still kind of chat to him a bit. He was always good to us with regards to the fans and stuff. He always supported us massively.
Always, yeah.
I think he was a good man around the club as well. Always gave 100%. It's kind of very disappointing that he left and he's not playing as much. I know he came on Monday night.
He played 30 minutes.
Played 25 minutes there, thereabouts. Which I'm delighted to hear, to be honest, because he deserves a run. But personally, I would 100% take him back.
Yeah, I would too. And I mean, look, we'd be kind of stupid not to. You know, again, as you said, he was our best player last year. He won the club's player of the year. Why wouldn't you? Just for those reasons alone, why wouldn't you? I will pose a different, like, alternative question to that question, though. Would you take him back and put him straight into that squad?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Right.
I know we have loads of options.
Right wing.
I'd play him left, straight into the left, 100%.
I would say the same. I'd put him straight into the left.
The reason being saying that is...
And go Leo, Dan, I think the lads. Leo Dan, Kevin, or Leo Dan, Ryan.
Yeah, possibly. You know, I wouldn't rule Valerie out of playing on Valerie, either side.
Like, I haven't seen enough from yet, you know. It's just,
you know, going far. But the reason saying that is, the reason I put him straight in is because of lack of goals, you know, lack of balls into the box. And I think he did a lot of that, and Ryan had a lot of goals last year off his assist. Nathan has got plenty of chances. Kennedy's got plenty of chances. Dan Acuda's got plenty of chances. Just haven't been up to what Leo was doing last year for Kerry. So that's the reason I take him back.
And so you're in agreement too?
Yeah, I'd take him back. I was kind of on the fence, but no, the more...
We look it down off the fence.
I fall. I've lost my stool. No, I was on the fence there earlier, and now listening a bit more. Yeah, I'd take him back. Take him back, all right.
Okay, message in from an American follower, just an American fan who wants to share some love for the show. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Tell you, lads, we're going worldwide.
Yeah.
We are Misters Worldwide.
Misters.
I know you won't, man. One, two, three. Give me the sunglasses.
We kind of look like him as well, to be fair. Yeah. Okay, finish up with this one. I think, you know, I think this is the best question being put into the... I was actually looking at this last night thinking, what the fuck am I going to say to this?
Yeah.
But what is the one change you would all make to improve the results? And that's from Jim McCarthy. What a great question, Jim.
Great question.
Thanks
great
for
question.
Getting in touch. Yeah. Anto, open us up with this one, because you're getting away with it a lot softer.
I am getting away with it soft.
More goals,
yeah. Goals win games.
Like what?
Get rid of the green jersey. Go straight for the third kit.
Oh, yeah.
No. One change to make for... Fuck it, I don't know.
Okay. I've got one, right?
You do?
I was thinking about it earlier. Like, it's kind of more of a tactical change than anything. It's down to Ryan Kelleher. So I see Ryan from the get-go this season, like, you know, playing a bit of a kind of a Harry Kane role where he's kind of dropping out to collect the ball, and we're playing with a bit of width, and like constantly playing with width. Like, it's always going out to Dan or getting out to Nathan, and it's always kind of cutting in, trying to do a lot of the work themselves. Like, but if we could just try to bring it into play where Ryan's a striker, we need someone inside the box. I think it's a massive thing for us. When you're playing the ball so wide all the time and you're getting it into the box, that, like, 7 times out of 10 we put the ball into the box, there's no one inside there, because Ryan's after kind of have to come out to collect the ball to get it to the wingers, like, you know. So we do need a man in the middle of the pitch to get the ball wide and just leave Ryan up top. Genuinely, I just think that would be massive for us with the amount of ball we get into the box, having a striker of him, of his caliber, thank you very much, Pat, inside the box at all times. If you can get 3 or 4 chances, he'll take 2. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's going to take it. He will take one of those chances if he's inside the box, gets on the end of him.
Yeah, I feel like they're all trying to work their own goal as yes, such.
Yes,
you know,
it's not working.
It's it's like not. I think every, like, build up play. I think our build up play this year has been brilliant, but I think once we build up to that final, the final third of the final third, I think that's where it needs to be. Get it into the mixer, into Kelleher.
End product, that's what we
more so it. Than. Players out wide trying to create
Give
their own.
Give it to Keller.
And rather than players out wide trying to create their own goal.
Yeah.
As such, I think we have to be a bit more direct once we're into that, 100%. That end zone.
Get it into the box, like. Get into the mixer, like. Yeah. Okay, Pat, what's your one change you would make to improve results? Andrew, you better be thinking, man.
I am, man.
I'm not taking either no for an answer.
To improve results. It's a hard one. It's just like building consistency. You know, like... like for 5 or 6 games, I mean,
there we change though.
We defended really well. Well, like I to be honest with you, I wouldn't change. There's much to change, like, you know. Like, again, as I said, you have to rotate the squad every now and then. If you have to rotate the squad,
like, you could,
you know, like,
someone is maybe not starting enough.
I agree with you in the sense that, look, once we get into that final third, we have to be a bit more direct and get the ball to our target man, and our target man is Ryan Keller at the end of the day. But I mean, we've had loads of chances in games, and keepers have had worldies against us where we've could have gone up.
But what kind
more.
Of chances have we had? Edge of the box shots,
Like Sean McGrath had some plenty of attempts from outside the box.
Yeah, but it's outside the
against
box
against Treaty.
Always outside the
against
box
against Treaty. How many times did the ball get put into the box and the keeper saved it? Ronan Tehan's attempt was from within 7 or 8 yards.
I don't think we do enough inside the box.
No, I understand we don't do enough. We should do more of that. But I mean, like, in terms of, like, I don't think there's like a change to this. Like, I don't think there's a change as such. I just, other than being more direct, you know. Like, instead of maybe running it with Sean McGrath, running it with fucking Kennedy or someone up and then play that last ball, maybe cut that middle man out every now and then. I'm not saying do it the whole time.
No, yeah, no, you don't.
Every now and then, Darren McCarthy just pings one over the top and it's just head down straight for goal.
Rather than
pinging it out wide for him to take a touch and then it's a
1v1. Yeah.
Don't even give him the 1v1. Just put it over the top so he's running onto it, whether it's the wide player or Ryan Keller. Just a bit more direct, whether we're deep or out wide on the edge of the box, rather than trying to work it in the whole time.
Okay. Yeah. Anto, have you come up with anything?
I suppose I have one or two things. I do, yeah. I was thinking. Like, one thing I'd say is, you know, the boys on the wing and stuff, every time they get the ball. Sometimes the defenders are literally on their back heels.
Yeah.
But then they'll turn around and pass it back. And then make the run for the overlap.
Go at them.
Like, 9 times out of 10 you're gonna run past them on the outside. And if not, sure, the defender will fall over and it'd be funny.
The other one
definitely, have you noticed in the last couple of games, say, like, the boys cutting in from the wings?
Yeah.
Or even Sean McGrath or Ronan or Stephen Healy even. And they have the time to shoot and they don't. But, like, it's open and then they wait until they're closed down and then just have a pop. Yeah. I think Dan's very notorious for it.
Do you know what I was just going to say, what I've noticed is Dan is getting himself into serious positions.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing unbelievable work to get down the line.
And then takes 3 or 4
more
touches.
Running
from
the halfway line to the edge of the box. Ball roll, beat a man, beat a second man, and then it's always on his left. Always on his left. Yeah. And if it's on his right, it's at a very, very tight angle.
Yeah.
But
I would have a crack at having him out left for maybe a game
if
or
you're
two.
Getting right into the box,
because,
sense, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's either you use Dan outright, and all he's like, you use Dan outright as like an Antonio Valencia, you could say, you know, head down, beat the man, hit the byline, get it into the box. That's what he was unbelievable at, and it worked every single time. Head down, hit the byline, drill it across the box for the striker.
Yeah.
Because I think like he's doing unbelievable work at getting to the byline or getting to just inside the box, and he's creating his own chances, but they're always at tough angles or on his weaker foot. You either have him outright to beat the man and give it off to Ryan, or else if you want him to create his own chances and have shots at goal, I'd play him out left, where he's going to beat the man anyway, beat the second man, and at least he's on his stronger foot then. He's cutting inside on his stronger foot for a chance in himself. I'd like to see him just switch over just to see how he'd get on.
Okay, so last one, email in from Aidan Murphy. Hi lads, love what you do. Missed you badly during the Cork City game. Just a quick one. I'd be interested to hear from you. 13 games in, I'm very unconvinced by Tuta in goals. He's got the occasional worldly save in his locker, but in general, I'm pretty unimpressed, especially commanding his box at set pieces. Axworthy's season is over next month in Dubai, and I know for a fact he'd be open to returning, despite very poor communication from the club prior to his departure. Or even if we'd given Arne a chance in between the sticks, it might be a kick up to his arse. Would love to hear your opinions. Cheers. That's a very interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose we're full of praise to Tuta there. What? Towards the start of the podcast, saying how many points he's saved us as well.
But I suppose, you know, I do see where he's coming from. Like, there was a couple of mistakes at the start of the season, even against Longford recently. There is mistakes, and I think you mentioned earlier, Pat, like, it's in the First Division League of Ireland, keepers are constantly making mistakes.
Yeah.
But as Aidan said there, he does pull off the worldies, and
the way I kind of put it earlier was like, he'll make a mistake, okay? And Tuta is prone to mistake. And as I said, most goalkeepers are prone to mistake. But he, I think, genuinely does make up for his mistake later in the game. And when I say genuinely make up for his mistake, is sometimes keepers make a mistake and it might bring the team to a 2-0, like, you know, deficit or whatever. And then they might make one good save at 2-0 or at 3-0. And people consider that to be, oh, he's made up for his mistake. Not really, because the game is kind of done with already. The damage has been done. It's just, that's only damage limitations. Whereas, if Tuta makes a mistake, I rarely see him make that mistake again in the game. And like we'll give the Cork City game an example as such. What I mean by this is, made that mistake that kind of led to the penalty, down 1-0. But he pulled off a fantastic save in the second half that kept it at 1-0, that kept Kerry in the game. I would say he made up for his mistake there, because if he doesn't save that shot, that goes in as 2-0, the game is dead and buried. So I think he made up for his mistake by making that save, because he kept Kerry in the game and gave the rest of the team a chance to go up and level it. And he's done that time and time again. If he has made a mistake, it's never been to completely wipe us out of the game. I think he's made a world-class save that's kept us in the fight, or kept the game at a draw, or kept the game at us being up 2-1 or whatever it may be, after making the mistake for it to go to 2-1 or to 1-1 or whatever it may be. So that's the way I kind of put it. If you can understand, you can understand it. If you don't, I don't blame you. But that's the way my logic around it works, I suppose.
So just touching on what he said about Lee returning, like, you know, I suppose I was kind of disappointed that Lee left. Be honest with you, I kind of understood why he did, because obviously Kerry brought him the new number one, Lee obviously thinks he's good enough to be the Kerry number one. I think if he had stayed, like, you know, there was probably opportunities within the season where he might have got that a game, realistically, because I suppose at the start of the season there was a couple of mistakes made by Antonio, like, and kind of, I suppose Aaron was kind of in and out of the squad at that time. You know, Dara Foley was in for a while, and, you know, so the subkeeper was very inconsistent, so it was very hard to drop Antonio at the time, which I suppose worked out massively in his favour, because overall I think he's been very, very good for us.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of big games put in, like, you know, and I for one was very, at the start of the season, was very harsh on him as regards to Well, I suppose not from the get go, because he was quite good the first, very commanding the first couple of games, but from then on he wasn't as commanding as he normally was. But look, I can see where he's coming from. I see his point, but I think Antonio probably is just good enough to stay there, being honest with you.
I think so too. The kicking does need to improve a small bit, though. That's one bit of criticism I will give Antonio. I think the kicking needs to improve. But again, another thing as well. I think that's quite it's not spread out as such around the First Division League of Ireland, but you can see a lot of goalkeepers. They aren't perfect, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's very hard to find a perfect goalkeeper that will keep you clean sheets every single week and can ping a pass like Ederson.
If you have a perfect goalkeeper in the First Division, he won't be in the First Division for long.
Exactly. And an interesting thing about that message as well was, you know, kind of went heavy in on the, well, I don't know, heavy in on, but, you know, highlighted about the poor communication with Lee. Was that at a time where, you know, the season was finished with? Was that towards the end of last season? Have you any ideas? Or
no idea.
You know, it could have been around the time where it was kind of hectic there with Ainscough leaving and stuff as well, you know, and trying to get squads together for this season.
I'd be disappointed if there was no communication, because I think Lee loved the club and Lee worked hard for the club, in fairness.
Yeah.
He was a big, very good to the fans. We were a big fan of Lee. We had massive respect for him. Like, you know, obviously we wished him all the way when he left. Like, so yeah. I would be hoping that he left on good terms.
Yeah, and it's good to hear.
Obviously, if he's interested in a move back, there must be some sort of good terms there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially since, you know, as what was his name again? Sorry, I missed.
Aidan.
Especially if Aidan kind of insists that, you know, he would be interested in a return if needed, which is good. Did you know if there was that poor communication, if that was there, that regardless, to put that aside, that would still be interested in coming to the club, which is great to see.
Move on. Predictions.
So results from last week, I absolutely smoked you all.
What, you had zero?
I got 1 point.
Nice.
Oh
yeah, unbelievable it was. Yourself and Dougie both got a correct score. So that's 3 points, but Dougie is ahead by one. It's 8-7-1.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's the way it's going. It's fairly good.
Who's on eight?
Me.
Dougie.
I thought I was on eight.
No.
He's on
seven.
No, but like...
Extra points. So
he wasn't happy about his restarting, so we'd give him the 8 points. Yeah. So you're on 15, I'm on eight.
Yeah, so I was thinking, I was like, what?
You got zero.
I've been doing fine.
That's why I didn't celebrate, man, because I knew the story.
But anyway, Dougie won last week.
Okay, nice. Well done, Dougie.
He's only taking a piss. I got seven as well.
Seven.
We both got seven.
All right. Okay.
You're on.
It's 15-7-1.
15-7-1.
Okay. Yeah. So, Athlone and Bray. Pa.
1-1.
2-2.
I think Bray will win. 2-1.
Bray and the Foreman.
Yeah.
Foreman.
The Cork Derby.
Oh.
Cove and Cork.
Cove only gave Cork 10% of the tickets.
Yeah. And stood by it. Cork went down and asked. They're very ratty on social media at the moment that they didn't get more.
Who, Cork?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Love it. Up the list.
Sore. Who's at home? Cove, obviously.
Cove.
Do you know what? 1-1 as well.
I'm gonna go 2-2 again.
Whoa.
Cove actually beating UCD away.
So. I think that'll be a bit of a nervy game.
Yeah.
0-0.
Ooh.
Three draws.
Yeah.
We're all right, someone's
gonna win 4-1.
Yeah. Probably. Finn Harps and Longford. Finn Harps at home, so it's probably at 2 o'clock in the day or something.
5 o'clock, 3-0 Finn Harps.
2-1 Finn Harps.
It's
not a long journey for Longford, and
no, I just
after beating Kerry, I know, but look, they might have some bit of confidence going into it.
I know where I should have
1-0 Finn Harps.
So you're thinking the same. Okay. Yeah. To a certain degree, anyway.
The big one, Kerry and UCD.
You can go first.
I'll do it. 2-1 Kerry. I think we'll bounce back.
3-1 UCD. Don't think we're good enough at the moment to beat them.
0-0. A lot of draws this week in my predictions.
So I'm back to this for an idiot man, because if this comes in, you're going to be sick.
And 3-2 Wexford to finish. 3-2 at home.
3-1 Wexford.
How are Treaty doing?
Brutal.
Worst run they've been in a while.
3-1 Wexford.
They've only got 12 points. They started, I think they won 3 of the first 4 games, and they have 12 points since.
Treaty at home.
Mm-hmm.
2-1 Wexford.
Ooh.
3-2 have lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the last 8 games.
Nice.
They won their first 3 and have 3 draws since. Out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
1-0 Treaty.
You do it.
Yeah, that's it. We'll come off a losing streak, so will they. Up the lads.
I suppose just another quick thing there just before we finish up. Something that we said we'd do a couple of weeks ago, but I think it might be a bit fitting to finish off with a little bit of a roundup maybe of the Academy games. Do you want to do it now, or do you want to get it out? Okay.
Where would you start in the next?
Because all I got was Dougie's going. So I was like, okay, maybe I should.
The under-20s had an unbelievable win, 5-1. Yes. Did you see the diving header?
No.
Oh, it's class. I think it was their first goal.
What?
So, on Saturday, we had the Kerry under-15s. They lost 3-1 against Cork City. Robertson was the goal scorer for Kerry there. We had, man, this League of Ireland app. What FEI Connect app, man. Sometimes it's very, very, very confusing. We had our ladies' team were out. The under-17s drew 2-2 with Wexford. Foster and Laura Falvey on the score sheet for Kerry there. Falvey's lifting.
Absolutely.
Getting loads and loads of goals for Kerry since signing from Treaty. It's great to see, you know, the first League of Ireland women's team in Kerry, like, and they're doing fairly well.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be fair now. Plenty of goals being scored anyway. That moves us on to our Kerry 20s, is right. One second, let me find this.
They played Monday. No, yeah.
Was it Monday?
Monday, yeah.
5-1 against CK United. 5-1
against CK United. Who were CK United?
Carlo Kilkenny.
Oh, it's Carlo Kilkenny. Nice. Yeah. So, if I get the names wrong, I apologise. Tapali. Who else is here? Jahiri, and Madison, and Jahiri again were all the goal scorers for Kerry. 5-1.
Yeah.
Looks like three goals before half time. Solid win for Kerry there. The under-20s.
I think Pix Adam had the video up. Luke O'Mahony recorded it, but the first goal is just like a lovely cross in, diving header at back post. It's class.
Nice.
Class.
That was a good goal, yeah. 17s drew 2-1.
17s drew 2-2. I'm just trying to find the goal scorers here. No, man, it's like, I didn't. Oh, I'm bottling it. Someone talk. We go 14s. I have the 14s result here.
You brought this out.
Najosi Ashu was a goal scorer for Kerry in their 3-1 loss at home against Cork City for the Kerry under 14.
Massive preparation of the academy run up put in by Pemex this week.
No, I just thought of it halfway through. I was like, you know what? I'll just call out the results of the goal scorers now, but we'll actually have something prepared for next time.
Yes, absolutely.
I just said, you know what?
We'll do a pure Sky Sports.
And Kerry won 2-1 with the under-17s against CK United as well.
Oh.
Goal scorers were Keane and Palmer.
Nice.
So
a nice double over CK United.
CK United. So in future we'll have a proper run. That's only a little teaser, a taster.
As a trial run.
Yeah. So Damien Locke there, the head of the academy, doing a great job, and all of his coaches too are running the Kerry FC Academy. Plenty of teams, plenty of age groups.
Plenty of work.
And plenty of work, absolutely. So it's good that there's a nice pathway into, you know, brighter things maybe coming from Kerry FC at the underage level, from 14s up, and a ladies team too as well.
Absolutely.
So Yeah, in future I'll be a lot more prepared, but I said, you know what, I'll give a quick old round up there of the results and who scored.
I was in shock when you came out with it. I was like, this is going to...
And I may have missed the result too. I'm finding it very hard to navigate FAI Connect. But yeah.
That's why I looked at you. I was like, that app is atrocious.
Yeah. Next time I was going to write it, I was like, oh man, what am I doing? What's the next one? Next time I'll have it all written down with names in front of me, so I'll know. But look, with that being said, good episode again this week. Shout out to everyone that's listening, of course, everyone that's getting in touch with the page. Make sure you keep getting in touch with us with any opinions, any questions, any comments, feedback, whatever it may be. Get in touch with us and we'll try and get them on each show. Again, another thing, make sure you contact us also if you want to book a seat to Cove Ramblers away on the 31st of May. And until next time,
up the lads.
So Hammack and Dougie talking Kerry FC every week. It's a favourite show. Everywhere we go, it's the Kerry Men Podcast.